Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time. We have the people.
This is Eric from Moana.
This is Priscilla Levine.
This is Tim Jensen with Pepperdine Volleyball.
The story in real time.
I can't argue that we're the best team in the world.
I'm not retiring, people.
You're listening to The Net Live with Barney.
If everyone was doing a great job, then everyone would win the championship every year.
Peter.
It's not kittens and candles all the time, guys.
Reed.
Where's Pretty? You promised me he'd be on the show today.
And DJ Rouché.
The baddest DJ in the land.
It's The Net Live right now.
Yes! The Net Live, yes. Ladies and gentlemen. Holy cow! Where are we? We are in Huntington Beach. Peter, I don't know if you've even ever been here before. This is the original home of the Net Live. We have come home to roost in Huntington Beach at Reed's house, level number 2 of 3. And we have a heck of a show planned.
For a guy that spends 7 nights a year here, I got to say this is an unbelievable house. And truth be told, I dated a gal that lived 5 blocks away from here, brought back some
not-so-great
memories, Reed, but this is a gorgeous area, and congratulations on this family. I mean, your wife, she's such an upgrade for you. It's really, really amazing.
Yeah, you're right.
Did you
there.
Say his wife or his life?
His life and his wife.
Are both an upgrade for him.
You bet.
Hey, everybody, welcome. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're joining us here on this evening program. We have another big show planned for you here today. A lot of topics to talk about. FIVB Russia. Just concluded. Indoor Grand Prix preview. We're going to talk about some of the stuff that's been going on with the women. Juniors. I don't know. How did juniors make it on here again, Geeter? Oh, yeah, because you're here.
I think I won 2 golds.
We're going to talk about some
junior
stuff.
Back-to-back, Reed.
And we want to let you know we have an upcoming feature. Not going to happen this show yet, but upcoming. In cooperation with Volleyball Magazine, we have 35 years of Volleyball Magazine. It's their 35th anniversary. We're going to start going through the archives. We're going to start going through a magazine per year, dissecting it, looking back at the history of volleyball, the clothes, the people, the stories. There's going to be some fun stuff in there.
Can we put pictures of some of the stuff we're talking about on our Facebook page?
We absolutely will.
Because that gear is really unbelievable.
Primitive prints, elephant trunks.
You know what's re-airing these days? The AVP Classics, sometimes Fox will show them randomly.
Right.
So I got a text the other day. Someone's like, hey, man, that AVP Classics show's on. So I go and look at it. Man, those matches were pretty fun, but the outfits were amazing late 80s and early 90s.
Volleyball Magazine is also going to make whatever issue that we do see and talk about, they're going to make it available to our listeners on their website as well, which will be great.
So that's stuff to come. Here in this show, though, we have a couple of great guests coming up. 5:30.
Yeah, this is weird for you. The show start at 5.
No, because we have a double booking now.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. Didn't even address this off air. We have George Mulry from the Volleyball Hall of Fame coming up at 5:30.
I mean, I'm looking at the whiteboard.
If it's not on the whiteboard, Barney,
your guy's out.
Do you want to turn the page? You want to turn the page in big, bold letters, George
I'm just
Mulry?
I'm saying, buddy. I'm looking at the whiteboard.
Fame, the new executive director over there at the Volleyball Hall of Fame going to tell us what it's all about. I think it's important
for people
to know.
Would you like me to text Casey Jennings?
Yep.
And tell him, see if he could call in a little bit later?
Yep. Yep.
I'm real excited he's calling in.
Him back to 6.
He's had an interesting summer.
We're going to push him back maybe 5:45. I don't know what to see. And then Holly McPeak is supposed to be calling up. So we have a jam-packed hour and a half program. If Reed even makes it through the next hour and a half.
Holly, by the way, did text me and say, yes, that is a tough time for me. You know, she is a brand-new mother. Leonardo, her handsome
Leonardo.
Son. And, you know, she's got a lot going on in that house, so she's going to try. She wrote down the number
right.
again, so we know we're not for sure having Holly on.
I can't believe we had it. So what we are having is George Mulry, Volleyball Hall of Fame, and Casey Jennings will
yes.
join us here
Al
on
B's
the program
also drop
tonight.
Us a line, bud. Albert Hanneman.
Al B.
Pumping up the NVL Malibu.
He's threatening to call for a couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to talking to him. It sounds like there's some real issues to talk about
Kent
there.
Wants to know where Reed is at the beginning of every show.
Hey, 347-677-1525 is the number, and we are here. We know you're not at work. If you're in the United States, unless you're running shift number 2. So give us a call on any of the issues that we're going to talk about on this program, stuff you've been thinking of, saving up, stuff that you've had in your memory banks as you've been listening to us free on iTunes. downloadable there at any time, or stuff that you have been waiting to post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thenetlive. Lots of ways to get a hold of us. We've had some fun emails as of late.
You know about my vision and my dream. I shared it with you when we got in the car. I feel like this night edition, we're going to have some phone calls because people are home. They're chilling. They have a drink in their hands. Why not call in? Being at work in the morning in your cubby, not being able to call us is no longer an excuse. Kevin said, Geet, don't get your hopes up. Remember last time you begged and you went on Volley Talk, all these things, and you got shut down. One guy called.
You nearly quit.
Love that guy.
You were one caller away from not being on the show anymore.
Thank God.
Hey, last week we had a great guest on here. We had Jen Thomas. We learned how to say her name, and we learned about the volleyball team. Middle blocker, silver medalist in 2008, longtime member of the national team. One of the things I thought was interesting about her, and an interesting thing about Jen, her career, is that she has spanned three coaching staffs now. She's been through Toshi. She's been through Jenny Longping.
Jenny.
And now on to Hugh McCutcheon.
Hugh McCutcheon.
So she's gone from Japan to China to New Zealand in the last 12 years.
Safe to say she is a veteran of that squad. Been around, knows the ropes, can really teach those, because there's a lot of young kids on that team, Reed.
Yeah, you know,
you need those kind of people on your team.
I talked to her today, and she was pumped to be on the show. She likes the things that we're doing, so it was great to have her call in from the American Sports Center right after practice. But like I told her today, and like I said last week, when you start having your captain really get into the finer things, and the two things that she highlighted was she wanted to extend her time at the service line because the block was so big, not because her serve was so great, but because they were in such a good defensive situation. I mean, that's like next level team stuff. That's great. That's one of the finer things. She's not thinking about, you know, hitting that backslide better or doing, you know, blocking or whatever. Sure. And the second thing she mentioned was her second touch attack. So, you know, when she's in the middle and she's in a situation where she needs to set a hitter, she wants to set that ball better. And I can't tell you how many times, especially when we have these middle blockers who come up so specialized, those are big points. And it usually happens like in a blocking sub that's, you know, in the 20s. So the set's on the line.
Yeah.
You know, everything's right there for you. And then you have your middle blocker who hardly ever sets. And those are the two things that she highlighted. And I just thought that was, you know, very, you know, we talk about Hughisms, that you could definitely hear a lot of Hugh in the things that she was saying. And she said it today. She's like, I feel like a well-rounded volleyball player. When you have a middle blocker saying those types of things, that's a great thing.
Everything you just mentioned is stuff about getting outside of herself. And I think she's still working on stuff, obviously on a personal level, individual skills, of course, always working on those. But a lot of your thought process, once you have those individual skills really established, and they are no longer something you have to focus on, they're just strictly reaction. They're just instinct by this point in her career. Now she's really into, how do I as an individual contribute to the team and some of the team processes that are going on out there?
You know, and there's a lot of young coaches that listen to our show. And you talked about middle setting. You know, when you get to that level,
so important.
We started doing it with last year's team and at the club level because we had really strong pins. And we used to always be a team like everybody else at our club level. Right side steps in and sets a terrible high ball. So we started training last year. And even though, you know, because we had two really good middle setters, but the other two weren't, but they learned. And you work on it, you work on it. And then when that ball's out of system, the libero can step in and give you a nice bump set either side. But I tell you, it was key for us in that title run at JO's. And I'm telling you guys, 98% of the teams, no one does it. And
they have their right side setting?
Yeah, or libero running.
That's the stupidest thing
you're taking away a hitter. And you know what? I was one of those people a couple years ago.
You're taking away your best hitter.
I know, your best hitter.
Your person you want hitting the ball out of system is now setting. That's dumb.
Yeah.
The takeaway from her interview, the phrase that you can take as a coach from this program to your kids when you're teaching middles to set or anyone to set, hittable ball.
Yeah.
It's not perfect. It is a hittable ball. That's all they need.
Yeah.
I think too many kids get caught up in, oh, no, I'm setting. I got to try and make it. Oh, I got to make it perfect. No. Make it hittable. Inside the antenna, somewhere between 2 to 6 feet off the net.
Put some height on it.
High.
You know?
Done. That's a hittable ball.
Yeah. I agree 100%. I was shocked at how many teams, once we started doing it, I would take notice, and I was shocked. So when you know, if you're shooting over a free ball or something, you know, we're always going area two, you take out that setter, teams panic. They got to set a long ball. Instead of just having your right side peel off, have your middle set, it's easy.
this is where, as a young player, playing beach is just huge to develop that all-around game. And I remember both my high school coach and college coach, Rick McLaughlin and Fred Mann in high school, were huge on players playing beach volleyball, sand volleyball in the off season to develop those, of those other skills. And I think that any of those kids listening out there in an off season, any chance you get to grab three other guys, three other gals, get out there, play some sand, and really develop that all around game.
You know, it's great, Reed, and you've played out there, so you've seen it. But I remember when Nygaard joined the tour, and people were like, how's he going to do? He's a big guy. With the short court, he'll be successful. He would never have been successful in a big game. Guy has some of the best hands. You look at Phil. The big guys nowadays, when they go out on the beach and they work on their game, are some of the best setters. And it's impressive to me. You know?
It is, especially when you get Phil. I remember when we were playing Phil and Todd, Jay Ring, and I, our whole goal was to try to get them off the net. So we were like, we're going to miss 50% of our serves, but we're going to try to get them off the net because Todd's so dialed in.
Yeah.
And when we would get them off the net and Phil would use his hands at like area six on a sand volleyball court and set that perfectly, it was just kind of like, all right.
It really takes a lot out of you. It's such a bummer. Did you watch women's soccer yesterday, Barney?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I was dropping my kids at camp yesterday. Yeah. I forgot to set the TiVo. Just totally biffed on it because our whole focus was kids going away for a week, 7 and 9, first time out of the house, not to like grandma and grandpa's are with us somewhere.
Yep.
Going to camp for a whole week, dropped them off in Big Bear, and I, on the way back, discovered the score surfing through the net.
Yeah.
And I was so bummed because the kids and I sat and watched both their last match, but then also the semifinal. It was really, really fun, and the kids had a great time, and I was so bummed to see them lose.
I got to be honest, I was more into the Women's World Cup than I was the men's, and I don't know if it's because...
I was into both.
I was into the men's, but the women's, I really got into it. My wife was into it. You know, I met a lot of those girls in Beijing, and I've known Abby a long time, actually, because she's come around volleyball events, and she's a Gatorade person, so it's become a little bit of a friend. So I think I was like really more dialed in with this team.
You had to drop that, didn't you?
Yeah, of course. And they've had a miracle run. I think when a team goes on a run like that, you want to become a part of it. So I remember going to a Dodger game when they beat Brazil, and literally I knew they had tied it up, and I walked out on the field a couple hours before the game last Sunday, and all the Padre players were out. Dodger players were out, and Dodgers don't take batting practice on Sunday days for day games. They're all out. Mattingly's out there, and all the media were out, and people that worked were out, and everyone's watching the PKs on the big screen.
Oh, nice.
And going nuts. When USA won, I thought that was really, really cool. So I built my Sunday around this game and was really into it. I felt terrible the way they lost because I felt they dominated the game, and they definitely choked when it came to the PKs. I mean, they did. And you know what? You saw it in the huddles
before that.
They couldn't believe they were in that situation. Japan was elated to be in that situation. Two completely different mindsets going into those penalty kicks.
Hadn't lost to Japan, I think, in 27 matches.
Yeah, they're 24-0 or something.
Yeah, unbelievable. They choked it away before that. And I thought you brought up a good point, Geeter, about somebody writing that, hey, you have to treat these women like athletes and say that they choked it because they gave up a goal with 10 minutes to go in regulation.
Yeah.
They gave up a goal with three minutes to go in overtime. You can't do that. How can you? You're up by a goal, and you give it away twice? Twice? Although that corner kick, what a deflection by the Japanese player.
Yeah, she made a great play. But can the gold medal match not come down to penalty kicks? Can we then go to a sudden death situation? Like, can you imagine, Reed, if it came to a serving contest for the gold against Brazil because you guys were tied in the fifth?
But that's not the tradition of soccer.
I know, but I get it. But, man, for the gold.
I love the golden goal aspect. Remember that, where it used to be just overtime, but first goal wins?
First goal wins.
That was gnarly. It's like a walk-off homer.
Yeah, because someone was going to score. Someone would have scored. But, man, it comes down to penalty kicks, and it's just tough.
You're right, though.
I'm with you. I think the golden goal is a better system.
I think, too, you're right when you say that the U.S. was bummed to be in that situation when you come down to PKs and Japan was elated. I mean, that psychology is so intense. And we talk a lot about in volleyball about being in the moment.
Yeah.
And that's one of the hardest things to fight off, the reality, like, I can't believe we're in this situation. I struggle with that all the time, thinking, man, I shouldn't even be in this situation.
Right?
And then you get distracted from the situation.
Yeah.
And then it just, compiles from there.
You know, as a coach, too, and you guys at that level that you guys have played at, it's hard to not let those things creep in. I found myself just a few weeks ago at JO's thinking, we had let an A3 lead go in the quarterfinals, and the team ended up taking a 13-12 lead. And in my mind, I'm trying to stay so focused on what we need to do, and there's that little part creeping into me going, how did we get here? How did we get here? It was 8-3 and rolling. It's hard to not slip back and go, hold on, can I rewind this clock?
Yeah, and part of that with the soccer was that they had gotten all these shots on goal, right, and blown a few of them and not converted on plays. And I think you saw France do that against the United States in the semifinal, for those that watched that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were on the United States was on the receiving end of that, that they had not really controlled the game, but they were winning. And I think you see that sometimes with volleyball. It happens in volleyball as well, where you have situations where you have controlled the stat sheet. You have defeated a team in every single stat except the score.
Yeah.
And we've seen that in some matches. I think there was, if I'm remembering correctly, Reed, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think it was the semifinals against Russia. They won most of the statistical categories in 2008 at the Olympic Games in that semifinal. They won most of the statistical categories that are kept for volleyball, yet you guys won the match.
Yeah, anytime you come down to 15-13 tiebreak, I mean, that's as close
and
as you can get.
Do sex.
And, you know, to tie the soccer and volleyball thing together, because that's what we do on this show, when you watch that match, Julie Foudy said it best. She said, they've had probably 9 or 10 shots on goal. Sooner or later, it's going to haunt them. In volleyball, I always talk to the kids about it's heightened when it gets into the 20s or when it gets to a third game. But all those plays from 1 through 10 that happen in the beginning of the game, when you're blowing free ball opportunities or missing easy plays or making errors, those count as well. And that's what happened with the U.S. women. I mean, they did not take advantage. That game easily could have been 2-0 at half.
In the international game of volleyball, I think that the 16-25 area is really tough. That's the post-second technical timeout for international games.
Absolutely.
International sets. And I think that's the area where, as I look down the stats for this team, for Reed's team, during this World League, that is where they struggled. They had a rough, rough time right after that. 16-20, if you divided up the match into five-point sections from 0 all the way to 25, their worst section was 16-21. Absolutely worst. And that's a horrible time to have it, because I remember times when they were up 16-14, 16-13 against good teams, and all of a sudden it's 17-16. You're down. And you're going, how did this happen? We just come out of that timeout flat. And that's one of those things that coaches, I think, really need to address.
I agree 100%. Can you believe we got some women's soccer in there?
Yeah, and it even got in ahead of my play-by-play debut on national television this past week. I can't believe it made it in there.
You didn't tell me. I guess you didn't tell me because you thought I'd be pissed because I wasn't doing the play-by-play. I've told you, let's not compete like that. It's okay to let me know about these things.
If we were sitting in the home court, I would have it on right now, and you would hear it in the background.
I don't think I'd watch during the show. I just don't think it would be that important to me. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, Kevin Barnett, Kevin Wong did the gold medal match for the FIVB World League, and it was Brazil-Russia. Turned out to be a very good match, well-played match. Deuce sets. I think there were 4 deuce sets, if you count the fifth. Russia did it. Russia's finally over the hump. They beat Brazil. And this, to me, is a scary moment for the rest of the world. Because I think Russia, for the last 2 years, has been the best team. But they've been unable to get the confidence and the swagger to beat Brazil on a consistent basis and to show up in the gym every day and pound people the way the number one team needs to.
Yeah.
I think this is a critical moment. They've climbed the mountain. They've beaten Brazil twice in that tournament, once under Brazil kind of resting their starters, but the second time in the final for the money, for the title.
So you're saying this bodes well for Russia going into London 2012, like the Americans getting hot when they got hot, Reed's team 2007-2008.
Reed's team 2008 wins World League, similar type moment. They had been a very good team. They hadn't been able to achieve that final almost, not even the victory, the emotion of knowing that you could step into a match and beat the world's best or anybody that was across from you. I think Russia has that now, and I think that's a scary prospect. I think Jeff Wozner emailed us this past week, and he hit on a couple of really good points that I totally agree with. Russia has learned to play the game because their professional league has gotten so much better. They brought in foreigners. They brought in a lot of money. They have guys on that team now that have learned to play the game. They could always block and hit. They couldn't play the game. Now they can play the game. They dig the ball. They transition well. They have a pretty good setter in Grandkin. They actually had a backup setter, Butko, came in and played most of that match. They have two good setters. They've hung on to a setter in Hamutsky. This guy had been around 20 years or 15 years. They have a setter. They have some good dynamic outside hitters. Biryukov, good outside hitter. Am I saying the name correctly? So I think they have some great talent. Musierski in the middle, 7'2", but proportioned like a 6'6 guy, moves like a 6'6 guy. This is a scary team.
Speaking of scary, Volkov, you know, the starting...
Alexander Volkov, the other middle, opposite Musierski.
How big is he?
He's 7'2". Musierski is actually 7'4".
Why is he not in wrestling?
Wait a second. I did the exact conversions. It came out at 7'2 and about 7 or 6'11".
Okay. Well, I hit against him.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
How about that, Barney?
So Volkov actually is a teammate of mine now in
he's back.
In Kazan.
He was one of the only Russians to play outside of Russia. He was in Cuneo in Italy.
Actually, there's two guys. Bereshko was the other one who normally starts in Biryokov.
But Bereshko, it wasn't on the finals roster, though.
Right, because he just had a knee operation. He's recovering. But he'll be back by the European Championships. But all to say, Volkov texts me. 2 nights ago, and he's in Vegas by himself. A 10-day trip to Vegas by himself.
Oh, no.
And so if you're out there, if you're listening and you're in Vegas and you see a 7'2" and change guy just wandering the streets, go say hi because he's looking for a friend or some company.
if you're 6 feet tall and blonde, definitely say hi.
He won't eat you. That's what you're saying.
Nah, he's a good guy. He's just out there. I mean, that was some serious – I mean, would you guys just show up to Moscow by yourselves? I mean,
no.
That's some serious...
I got to say something.
If I did, it would go very badly for my marriage.
No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. But putting him in Vegas is even better. I mean, that's better than going to Moscow. I mean, you imagine just showing up. Hey, what's up, man?
There's a lot of Russians, by the way, in Vegas.
You know?
The more that I've lived there... And
Mafia money travels.
I can pick up a Russian-English accent in, like, no time. It seems like a lot of the cab drivers out there immediately... I ask them where they're from, and it's somewhere in Russia.
Can you speak Russian yet?
Next question.
Can you read Russian? That's
I have
real
a question.
Can you read that stuff? It's got backwards.
Yeah, that
in
that
it.
Stuff makes no sense.
What is that?
You were talking about the Russians and how they've arrived. I want to ask you, Reed, how are they at the younger levels? Like, say, guys in college, guys in high school. Is it big there? Are they getting better at the younger ages? Is that why these guys are learning the game quicker or becoming better? Or
I don't think they have colleges.
I mean, what do they do? When do they learn the game? Do they specialize?
No, they don't have college programs. They have professional
leagues. Yeah, no, I know. But I'm saying, are these guys at the college age playing these professional leagues?
You know, this might get me in trouble, but I think if you took the American coaching system with the Russian athletes, you would have a super team that would never lose.
If you took
the
American coaches...
Like, you know, the system that we have, you know, it's like...
And put them in Russia.
We're kind of all in this together.
Sure.
We're trying to get better at our craft. We're, we're always learning. We're always thinking about the next best way. We're not getting stuck in a rut. I hear the women's side of the game is a little bit more competitive, and we're not going to share secrets and stuff
different
like that.
Different in the men's game. John Cook said it on this show.
So if you put that with the Russian athletes, I mean, they have, what, 250 athletes playing professionally at a high level? 250. I mean, That's the pool that they have to choose from for their national team. And mind you, the team that they took was they took out some veterans. Tatukin took a break.
Yep.
Ramutski took a break. Poltowski wasn't there. So they had a lot of guys that normally are suiting up with those guys. And they had some younger guys. And Kate, I mean, it just goes to show when you have a pro league, a guy like Kate, he's kind of in and out of the national team for 8-9 years, turns out to be the captain and play phenomenal.
These guys are all playing professionally
they're
playing in big crowds.
And I've always said it, maybe our best volleyball player in the country right now is managing a bank. You know, it just wasn't professional enough at the time to make sense for him. But maybe, peak age, 29, 28, 30, 32. I'm 33. I feel like I'm still getting better. Loy Ball is going to go on 40, and he's still signing huge deals.
Who's managing a bank?
Point being, if you would pay attention to the show, because it's a good show.
Yeah. Kevin, you're what you're doing over here. Look at the look they give each other, Jeremy. This is a great rivalry.
Who's managing a bank? I still want to know.
He's saying our best player just maybe – I mean, he's using that as an example. Correct?
Exactly. You know,
he's
in volleyball,
that there's someone out there better than himself. Is that what we're talking about?
Could be. Could be.
Definitely could be. And he might be managing a bank. He might be managing a property. Who knows?
And when I just saw the athleticism of Reed, people don't know this because we're not live streaming, but we almost tripped over the cord moments ago. You realize there might be someone better than him in our country.
That's what happens when I'm trying to call screen in a different room.
Hey,
are we ready for a break yet?
Yeah, Russia's going to be scary. The United States has the talent. We've talked about that. We have much more to come on this program here tonight.
Kevin talked about himself.
I love it.
So we've had a great first segment.
Yeah, if you missed it, get back on there. Versus, it's got to be on again. It was a good show. Kevin Wong, Kevin Barnett. It was the Kevin and Kevin program. I like how you immediately transitioned away from it, but I felt good by set five. My intro didn't feel so good. I felt like by set five, I had it, and I was kind of mad at Versus.
Yeah.
They cut my best line.
See, that always bothers me. When they do some editing, it does hurt.
I'm summing it up. Russia's done it. Vladimir Alekno has cracked a smile. Unbelievable. Russia stands tall on the podium.
Gone.
They didn't get the Russia stands tall on the podium. It wasn't exactly that, but gone. No, I had a good wrap-up, great energy, good line, fun ending, boom,
but
nothing. It was WWF or
I'm
going to
tell you
MMA
this real quick. Your intro is not the most important thing. Your play-by-play got better as the game went on, that you felt more comfortable. That's what people are listening to. That's what they tune in for. No one even watches your intro.
Thank you. I felt good about that part. Hey, more to come on the show here today. Right after the break, George Mulry, Volleyball Hall of Fame Executive Director, coming up. And Casey Jennings is going to join us here on the program. Lots to talk about with Beach Still. I don't know. They're providing lots of fodder, just not as much volleyball as we'd like to hear. The Net Live evening program live from Huntington Beach. Right back. We gon' get it. If I'm part of the dance party with all my dancing shoes and everybody dancing on my back beat, shame on me. If I'm out of my business, just doing the right thing, and just right in front of me off in the street, shame on you. If I'm on the volleyballnetwork.com, and it's an evening program, special show. Hope you're catching this one live. 347-677-1525 is the number. If you want to call in, talk to any of our guests, talk to us at any point during the program, do it. We have call screening. And maybe if you just want to call in and talk to Reed Pretty, who is our resident call screener, you can do that. Facebook.com/TheNetLive is a way to keep up with us. Some questions and fun stuff during the week. Like us on Facebook or TheNetLive@gmail.com. You can communicate with us anytime. We have a little music, J-Ro?
Sure, buddy.
Oh, this is nice. This is a pump-up intro right here. Our next guest runs a volleyball club, PV Juniors.
Sure.
He owns Mulry Real Estate up there in Westfield, Massachusetts. And he also is the brand new executive director of the Volleyball Hall of Fame, located in Holyoke, Massachusetts, the birthplace of volleyball.
Been there.
If you didn't know.
Does two gold medals from J.O.'s get you in?
I'm there each year to MC, so you're going to have to unseat me.
Oh.
The Volleyball Hall of Fame introductions. Inductions.
How did you get that gig over me? Do they know my resume?
I followed Sunderland.
I'll give you a couple gigs. God, Sundy is so in your back pocket. It's amazing.
We're so glad he's chosen to join us here on the program today. Tell us a little bit about the Hall of Fame and what's going on with that facility. It's an increasing facility. It's really got some neat stuff going on. Please welcome to the Net Live for the very first time, George Mulry. George.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, welcome in. Thanks very much for taking the time. We know it's a little bit getting on past dinner time there on the East Coast up in Holyoke.
Yeah, it's no problem. About 8:30, enjoying a nice 80-degree New England night. Having fun.
Oh, that is nice. Boy,
fantastic.
Oh boy. Hey, tell us a little bit more about the Hall of Fame for people that don't know about it, its history, why it's located where it is.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, volleyball invented in Holyoke, Massachusetts by William Morgan, 1895. 4 years earlier, William Morgan's mentor, James Naismith, invented a little sport you may have heard of called basketball right next door in Springfield, Mass.
I've heard of that one.
And, I figured you would. And he was just a YMCA teacher and was looking for something a little less strenuous than basketball, and he came up with volleyball. It's very different than what's played today. I wouldn't know as far as the less strenuous part, but that's kind of where we're at.
Okay, quiz question. What was the original name of volleyball? Because it wasn't volleyball. Hold on, George. Don't answer. Anyone in this room? Anyone?
Netball, dude.
Not
that guy
netball.
Called in that one time.
George, educate these fools, please.
Mintonette.
Funny that one didn't
George, stick. This is Geeter. All I can say is thank God we changed that name.
Yes, it doesn't roll off the tongue as easy as volleyball.
I got a question for you. When did this go from being a USA-oriented hall to international?
1998. Before that, it was just kind of getting its start. It actually started by not even volleyball people, but just the Chamber of Commerce of Holyoke was looking for ways to kind of promote. And, you know, 1971, they came up with creating a committee, and 78, they incorporated it as a hall. And they didn't even do the first induction until 1985 with William Morgan. And between William Morgan in 85 and then 1998, it was just all Americans. And sport is just humongous international, and being the sport's birthplace, it seemed like a logical fit.
How many total members in the hall right now?
Right now we have 100 inductees, even from 18 different countries.
Very nice. You know, Geeter, when you go there, this isn't just the Hall of Fame is located there and there's nothing else. There are signs, the birthplace of volleyball. It's on the police cars, the birthplace of volleyball. Really,
that's very cool.
The sport being celebrated in a unique manner. Hey, George, big moment for the Volleyball Hall of Fame at last year's inductions. Besides the return of Kevin Barnett at MC, Jitong Wei, president of the FIVB, was actually present. How important was that for your hall, for the recognition of your efforts?
That's absolutely huge. The big thing we got is just trying to secure some money from the FIVB and international federations to help keep us going, because we are the International Volleyball Hall of Fame. And, you know, right now it's basically a locally supported thing. And that was huge. We have had representatives from the FIVB in the past, and they've all loved it every time they stop by. And, you know, we're looking for them to step up a little bit more. They made a nice donation last year, and we're hoping for something on a more regular basis.
You know, George, I got a two-part question that involves Kevin and myself. One is, who's on the selection committee, and can announcers get in?
Well, the selection committee is chaired by a guy you might know, Mr. Doug Beal. And Al Monaco.
Oh, definitely.
You're in, I'm out.
So they basically send out a ballot worldwide and come back with names, and the people are actually voted in by current inductees. So it's kind of a little different process than, you know, the Baseball Hall of Fame and other places.
Interesting. So ballots go out to those that are already in as to who should be included in their club. That's an interesting way to do it. How is that decision made, or how do you feel about that process?
Well, I think the process is good. It's an elite group, and it's not like we induct 10 or 15 people per year. I mean, volleyball has been around for over 100 years, and there's only 100 people in the Hall of Fame. You know, there's a lot more people that may be deserving, but it's an elite group that get the honor. And, you know, as of now, we think that the people that are making that decision, you know, part should be the group that's in there.
And that leads me to a question about the announcers. I mean, you look at Sunderland Marlowe, the two I think of when I think of volleyball starting to be on TV. I have the pleasure of working with both of them early in my career now, and Paul, of course, currently. And I wonder, have there been inductions of people like that outside of William Morgan, the inventor? Are there others who are external to the sport as players?
Or coaches.
Or coaches that are involved in other ways that have been inducted into the Hall?
Well, we do have some other awards that we kind of started around the centennial and a little bit before that. We have the William Morgan Award, obviously named in his honor, for somebody that has continuous support and promotion of the sport. So, you know, it would fall probably under that category until we revise things to get everybody in. And we also have a Mintonette Medallion of Merit, which has mainly gone to local supporters that have helped out the Hall of Fame and just volleyball in general. And, you know, it kind of goes to the Grant Berger Award, where you're doing a great thing for the sport, and you should be honored for that. So it's something similar.
Are you saying that, George, because you know we won it this year?
What? I know. Hey, I don't know if you guys know this, but in 2007, I was a finalist for the Grant Berger Award.
Nice. Who'd you lose to?
A little company called MaxPreps.com.
You know, I know Max Preps. I use them a lot for my football here in Southern California High School. They're actually great. But now that I am part of the group that won, it's a guarantee that you're in, George.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're listening to Net Live here on the VolleyballNetwork.com. We're talking to Volleyball Hall of Fame Executive Director George Mulry. George, I wanted to ask a question about specifically the year 2008. And I wonder if a year can be inducted, because the Americans had a team in every final in the Olympic Games,
beach
men and women,
indoor, yep.
Four opportunities for a gold, converted three of them, and got a silver in the other one. Can you induct an entire year into the Hall?
You know, I absolutely agree with you, and I don't have any pull as far as that goes, but I think we have another award called the Court of Honor that has past teams that are inducted, and I think absolutely an entire year for volleyball should be inducted. That's something that's decided at the local level, and I can kind of push for that.
Do you think like the team, though, like the USA men's team that won gold, is that a slam dunk to get them in?
Well, I wouldn't say anything's a slam dunk, but
gotcha.
You know, it's something that I would push for.
Yeah, gotcha.
George, I want our listeners to know
listening.
A little bit more about how the Hall is
good
actually
answer.
Run. Who's involved with running the Hall? How is it supported financially?
Yeah, well, since its start and up until today, it is still a volunteer-driven organization. I am actually the only paid person that's really full-time staff. We have a couple people that help out throughout different times of the year. We get really busy during the induction time and around some tournaments that we run. But other than that, everything that gets done, aside from the nitty-gritty day-to-day stuff, is all volunteer-driven and supported by sponsorships and donations.
Who are the people that are out there really filling in those sponsorships? Are there people you'd like to recognize that have really been a big part of making the Hall what it is? Because people don't know, it's gone from being kind of one room to being half of a building at this point. I think you guys are continuing to expand and add more content and education about the sport.
Right, yeah, we're always evolving. We're looking to grow. We are bursting at the seams right now between the exhibit hall and our archive space. The city of Holyoke is our single largest supporter. They donate the space that we actually live in and that we work in. So that's the biggest home run for us. Spalding is the other big company. They were the makers of the first volleyball, so they have a nice connection with us, and they have been longtime supporters of us and probably, you know, just one of our most consistent supporters. And we get a lot of support in time and resources from USA Volleyball. That has been absolutely key. Doug Beal and Al Monaco are on our board of directors, and they're very active for having such busy lives.
Hey, George, you're involved in juniors volleyball?
Yeah.
Do you think we could ever have a qualifier or Junior Olympics in a city like Holyoke and show the kids that there is a Volleyball Hall of Fame, something like that? I mean, I don't think the kids, a lot of the kids that I coach at least, you know, are unsure about that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah, and that's, you know, as a Hall of Fame, I don't think we've done a really good job of getting our message out to the people. But, you know, to address your question directly, it's really tough. You know, the Northeast is just not a huge hotbed, especially New England, for volleyball. So we don't have the same infrastructure that most of the rest of the country has. You know, it's something that I think, you know, could be done in Boston, which is less than 2 hours away, and would really provide a nice, it's just really nice. It'd be a nice change of scenery, and it could be a great event.
I don't think people know that Springfield College, who we've mentioned on this show before, D3 champion many
yeah,
times
absolutely.
Over, competed in the EVA up until this past year, located about 25 minutes from the Hall of Fame, had an opportunity
to
get in with Charlie Sullivan and his crew this mm-hmm. past year when I was out there with his kids in preseason practice. A lot of fun to see what's going on there. And that's a college that has a lot of brand-new facilities, beautiful facilities,
yeah.
and they're really supporting their volleyball team in a way that is new, I think, in the success they've seen from the sport. George, I wanted you to give our listeners a little bit more of an education. I think you touched on it earlier about William Morgan's connection to Naismith and how that all came together. You mentioned the working man's – this was kind of a working man's sport, something a little less strenuous than basketball that people could play on their lunch break. But give people a little bit of a deeper background to William Morgan.
Yeah, William Morgan is actually a really interesting, quirky guy. He was born in Lockport, New York, out in the Buffalo area, and went to school at a prep school in Northfield, Massachusetts, called Northfield Mount Hermon. It was there that Naismith came up. He was the player and coach of the International YMCA Training School, which is now Springfield College. And he recruited Morgan to go to Springfield College as a football player. And they became friends and tossed ideas back and forth. And after graduation, Morgan took a job as the physical education teacher at the Holyoke YMCA, and the rest was history.
Very nice, very nice. Hey, if people want to donate to your cause, to the Hall of Fame, what do they need to do?
Volleyhall.org.
Visit
Volleyhall. It's not a pretty website, but it gets the job done.
They can click on there, and they can also not only donate on that site, but you can also learn more about this year's class of inductees. As I see Reed's pulling up the site here in the studio, tell us a little bit about this year's class. As I see, what's fun for me, I've inducted several people or been a part of their induction the last couple of years of folks that I didn't really know, and now some of my contemporaries are in here. I see an Italian outside hitter who I played against and a couple of other players.
Yeah, we have a wonderful induction class this year. You know, you mentioned the Italian, Lorenzo Bernardi, elected FIVB Player of the Century in 2001, along with Karch. Magali Carvajal from Cuba, probably one of the best blockers of all time. Huge part in Cuba's domination for a lot of years, won a gold medal, the 92 and the 96 Olympics. You also got Hugo Conti from Argentina. He is our first inductee from Argentina.
Very nice.
Yep, we have one person from the U.S. in this year's class. That's Rita Crockett, a member of the 80 and the 84 Olympic team when they won the silver medal. Got another new country coming in, Vladimir Gervic from Serbia, led Yugoslavia to a gold medal in the 2000 Olympics. And the last one rounding it out was Franistek Stibic from the Czech Republic, and we're inducting him as a leader. He was one of the founding fathers of the FIVB, and he was actually the guy that proposed the use of paddles during substitutions that you can still see today.
I'd like him to be out then. I really
is that
dislike
how he got
the
in?
Paddles. Yeah, I don't like the paddles at all, but I do like the fact that a contributor got in, so I look forward to the Net Live being inducted in about 15 years from now.
Award-winning
Net Live.
Award-winning, yeah.
Don't forget that part.
No. George Mulry is the executive director of the Volleyball Hall of Fame in Holyoke, Massachusetts. They will be inducting their next class of Volleyball Hall of Famers. It's October 25th, George, of this year?
28th. Friday, the 28th.
Friday, October 28th, coming up. If you want to have an opportunity to go, it's in Holyoke, Mass. A beautiful time of year to be there. The fall colors in action.
By the way, George, great job.
Yes. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
George, thank you so much for joining us here on the show. We appreciate the time and all the information. And hope people get out there and learn a little bit more about the sports that they love. Get some of the history. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right. George Mulry. Guys, the Volleyball Hall of Fame is an important thing.
Absolutely agree.
How many different angles were you trying to get, you know, to get yourself in there?
It's amazing.
I was right there with him.
I
tried everything in my power to get, like, some kind of confirmation that I'll get in 20 years.
I am not above using this show for personal gain. I'll tell you that right
now. Can the show get in?
Full disclosure.
Hey, if this show can go for 20 years, we're in. What's going on for two?
If we're sitting here in 20 more years right here in Reed's house.
We'll be fat and stupid.
But
we'll be awesome.
The show will be funny.
Yeah, hey.
Hey.
Are we going to break?
We are. We've got Casey Jennings coming up in this
show. Okay,
cool.
So I want to talk about the U.S. men's sitting team as well when we get back.
We'll do that. The Net Live here on the VolleyballNetwork.com. Right back.
Volleyball Mag, the industry's number one volleyball magazine. Volleyball Magazine has been serving the volleyball community for over 20 years with the latest in volleyball news and information, product reviews, athlete profiles, fitness, health, and travel-related features. It's published 9 times a year. Volleyball Magazine brings you the inside to the access to sport's biggest stars. Whether you're interested in junior, collegiate, or professional level, sand or indoor, Volleyball Magazine has you covered both on and off the court. Visit us now. Do it. www.volleyballmag.com. And subscribe for 1 year for only $19.99. Do that now and receive a new water bottle, a $49 value, free compliments of our friends at Naturally Energized Water Bottle Company. Volleyball Mag, the industry's number one volleyball magazine.
I'm liking this jam, DJ Ruff. Who's this?
What was your question?
Yep.
Sorry.
Who is this?
Rocking out right now.
Who is this, and are they a part of the Poolside Paradise remix?
Yeah.
Wait, what is it called?
His name is Egyptian. It's not part of my Poolside playlist from Volleyball Magazine, but thanks for bringing that up, Reed.
Egyptian?
Is this the first time Jay Roche's got in the show?
Hey.
My music got in the show.
Jay Roche carries us, especially when Barney's just so off the kilter, you know?
Off kilter? I've been awesome so far. I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey,
the
new working Barney.
The kilter.
Yeah, the new working Barney is an interesting Barney.
He's no longer Mr. Mom. He's having to work hard.
Yeah, I got a job.
Can we get back to me for a second?
Yeah, let's talk about that. Thank you. Thank you for steering it back.
Weren't we talking about me?
Can we talk about DJR's playlist in the recent issue of Volleyball Magazine?
It's Poolside playlist, you know, just 10 songs on there. Get your summer playlist started for you. If you need more assistance, I am free to consult for a small fee. But every month in Volleyball Magazine,
what's the best poolside barbecue or poolside event that you've had? Anyone in Vegas?
That I've DJed myself or that I've been to personally?
DJed.
I DJed a 4th of July party 1 year. Actually, you know what? The one I just did a couple weeks ago in Georgia. Volleyball fans and now friends of mine have a court in their backyard.
Sweet.
They put on their own tournament.
Wait, what's their names? I think I know those people.
Josh Marsh, Josh and Rachel. Yeah, you know them. Yeah, great people.
They had you out there?
They flew me out there.
Now?
No, there was no emceeing by me. They built a stage for me. It was a great time.
No way.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Can't afford it, bro.
Speaking of poolside and volleyball, I heard that the Hard Rock was closing down in Vegas. Is that true?
No more rehab?
What?
I mean, that would hurt the volleyball community. Is that a rumor?
The whole casino is closing? Reed, you live there.
I got to tell you, man, I went there last February for the during the juniors tournament, and it was dead there. Except for, I'm telling you, it was not the same Hard Rock.
Uh-oh.
That's not
J-Rell,
good.
Can you confirm?
I can't confirm.
I had a bit of a moment earlier today that I'd like to share with
you
guys.
Did he say a tournament in Georgia was the coolest thing he's been to?
Yeah.
No. He said poolside.
Okay, poolside.
What was the coolest? It was they have a pool in their backyard. They had their own volleyball court. Do you have your own volleyball court, Keith?
No, can't afford one yet.
Do you have a yard? All right. Yeah, the ocean. Guy.
Next question. Bury it in him. Bury that knife in deep and then twist the knife chest. Very good.
Just so Geeter knows I can eat him.
Just because we're living in a place where like a square foot of land will cost you $10,000. It's ridiculous.
Mute button off. And I don't like when his back is to me at this show.
Just like
either.
Old times.
Can I talk about my moment that I had earlier today?
Is it more important than the U.S. men's sitting team?
I received, for this show, I received an email message that said, Jen Kessy mentioned you on Twitter. And I went on and I clicked on that message and I thought, yes, I'm going to see my name next to Jen Kessy on this message.
What did it say?
It was actually at the Net Live.
Oh.
The Net Live's Twitter account, giving a recap, hey, sprained my ankle, had to skip Russia, feeling better, ready for Quebec. And I appreciated the information, but I got to say it was a little disappointing.
You thought it was going to say, hey, Barney, whatever.
Call me.
Yeah, call me. No chance.
Dang it. But speaking of FIVB Quebec, we have somebody, a listener, who would like to give us a little update. Cam Kerr calling in from Toronto, a Toronto-based number. Giving us a lowdown on the Quebec event. Cam.
How's it going?
Good. Thanks
What's
for calling
up, Cam?
In. Appreciate you. A long-time listener, first-time caller, or have you called this before?
Yeah. I think this is my second time calling in.
Nice.
I remember.
Long-time listener, second
time caller. I had a comment last time. I remember it was a good one, too.
Hit us.
Yes. So I guess my question is, and sorry if you guys have already touched on this. I just got back from dinner. But how do you guys feel about a lot of the top teams, you know, kind of – skipping Quebec because of, you know, Grand Slams on either side of it and them being over in Europe?
I wouldn't skip a paycheck myself. I think it's an opportunity to take home some cash, especially as the tournament gets lighter. You think it would entice somebody to come back?
You know what, Cam? We're going to have Casey on. I'm going to ask him that question because I think that's a real valid point. I don't know why the top players would take that off. The only thing I can think of is that the travel schedule is so gnarly that this might be an opportunity to take a break. And I'm just throwing that out there and seeing if it sticks to the wall because I'm not sure. I can't think of another reason. I think I agree with Barney that the opportunity to make a nice paycheck or to play and get points, you know, is huge. So that's a real interesting question, and I'm going to ask Casey for you because I'd like to get his take because I know if he could be in every tournament, he would be, you know. Right. But maybe he'll have, you know, a take on what the top players think.
No, definitely. I just realized, like, the other thing that I wanted to talk on is just, like, the sheer number of teams coming out in these country quotas from, I'm Canadian, from my country is fantastic. I was kind of expecting to see a little bit more American support, but not really that too many.
So what's the vibe like at the tournament? Have you been out there yet?
Not yet. I just flew in this afternoon, so I saw the site from my plane, but I go and check in tomorrow morning. I'm staying with some of the girls who are competing for Canada here. They're in the hotel room watching The Bachelorette, and I'm talking to you guys.
Whoa. They're not listening to the show?
Cam, you are not doing your job in Canada. How many listeners do we have in Canada?
Well, you have me and
I want more
at least one other.
At least one of them.
Not going to do it.
Well, hey, Cam, have a great
I'll
time.
I'll work on that.
Cam, call
us next week and let us know how the event goes.
All right, sounds good.
All right,
cool.
Man, thanks for calling.
Cam Kerr.
Yeah, he makes a great point, Matt. The only thing I can think of, guys, is that the travel is ridiculous.
Yeah, brutal.
And they need to find a certain time to have that break. And if they pick that one, whatever their reasons are, that's the only thing I can think of. I mean, you know, Jen and April didn't play last week, so I assume that they're going this week. You know,
they
can't take too many weeks off, you know, but it's pretty brutal out there. Hey, I wanted to mention that the U.S. men's sitting team, they just got finished with the 2011 Continental Cup, finished in eighth place, lost to Great Britain on Saturday, 25-19 in the fourth in England, finished with a tournament, a record of 3-4. But just congratulating them on representing the United States, I think it's really cool. Love to have some of these guys on, you know, Don Regan, Charlie, Ed, Eric James, Hugo, Roderick D. You guys deserve to be recognized, and we appreciate, you know, what you guys are doing for our sport.
I think we've seen their sport grow quite a bit. I remember
10,
12 years ago when I was on the team, we were in the gym, and those guys came in. We're about to have a practice next. We sat down and played against them for a while.
Yeah.
And it seemed like at the time that it hadn't taken on a life of its own.
Sure.
the guys hadn't played a lot, and I felt like it was just fun for them and fun for us to learn about what they did. And I didn't realize it. It's kind of funny to see. I've heard when we had Katie Holloway on the show quite some time ago, the celebrations.
Yeah.
They're all sitting. They're playing. The celebrations, everybody stands up and like high fives and stuff and sits back down.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
It is. It's just very, very funny and fun to watch. And I had a great time playing against them. It was a really lot of fun.
Is this a point where we can actually give USA Volleyball props for – I mean, this is one of the things that they're
absolutely
doing right, is they're just expanding the opportunities for people to play.
100%.
And I think this is one of those branches where they've just provided an opportunity and given space for these opportunities to grow.
I think we need to say that USA Volleyball overall is doing a lot of things well right now. We hammer them on this or that or the beach, or other people come on the show and hammer them about this or that. Listen, this is an organization that has a huge charge. They are designated as the national governing body by the USOC and given a charge to not only support the national teams or the national beach teams, or they have to support all the way from grassroots, juniors, adult play, club players, college players to some extent. Not support them, but be a part of that. And A2 teams and developmental teams and the senior teams and the national teams and all this stuff. They have such a monumental task. Paralympic teams now, as we're talking about. They have a huge, huge task, and they are not given a ton of money to throw around with it. They have, as we talked about a few weeks ago, a new $17 million budget. This is something that has grown from, I think it was $8, $9 million, and even lower when I first joined the team because they'd taken a huge financial hit. But they've done this. They've expanded their program, expanded their offerings at a lot of different levels, at a lot of different programs. And I think that they do a nice job with a lot of stuff. I've seen on the national team side, things get better and better with USAV and the way it relates to the national team, the way it treats athletes. I think that's fantastic. I think it's going the right direction. I think the stuff they're doing with beach now is going the right direction. I would like to see people let go of some of the stuff in the past and just continue. Stuff's going the right direction for our sport.
I think they're an events organization, and they're putting on a lot of events, and they're providing a lot of opportunities for players to play. I think that everyone's just so frustrated at where volleyball is in general, and it's like, they're the only last standing entity, really. And so it's easy to sit there and point fingers, but, I don't really see USA Basketball providing what the NBA has.
Right.
And so, it would be nice if the NVL or, the former AVP or these other entities in beach volleyball, and then, of course, some new ones in indoor volleyball. It would be nice to see some other people come in. And, we've had a lot of discussions on the show, and we talk a lot off air about where volleyball is, where it needs to go. And I think I'm just to the point where I feel that frustration, too, and I haven't invested financially like these people have. And I just think that where this sport is headed, it just needs capital. It needs somebody who can float a lot of cash over a long period of time and try to be the glue. I think cash is the glue.
That
could just bring this together. And you've got all these separate entities, trying to vie for the same space and competing and saying that they're working together, but they're really not. And
Co-opetition.
And so if you're listening and you just have dispensable cash, you could be the answer.
Can I get some nice music? DJ Roche, can I get something to
What does nice mean?
Maybe like a fireside romantic letter. Someone want to write a romantic letter to somebody.
Didn't we do this last year? Or last week?
We did, and that was Reed to Kent Steffes, and we haven't heard from him yet. 347-677-1525. Kent, if you're able to tear yourself away from the dinner table with the kids to get on Reed's case. Dear Philip Anschutz, we need you. Our sport needs you. We want you to come in and do what you've done for soccer, for our sport. We're athletes, too. We feel good about ourselves. We have a World Cup everybody can cheer for. We have arenas we can fill with fanatic fans, drums, fireworks. Dear Philip, please invest in our sport. Or if you have Philip money, just substitute your name for Philip.
Pour me a drink and talk to me.
I don't know. I don't like this music talking behind me, though.
I know. I didn't like that either, but I wasn't ready for that, so it wasn't looped. Would it call me out like that?
I hear you.
You want me to give you something else?
No, I'm good. I've
You're done?
Yeah, I've put it out there for my man Phil to give us a call. AEG 347-677-1525. Philip, give us a call.
I believe we have a guest.
Yes, we do.
On here, Jay Roche, play those beats, foo.
Now we need some.
Now. You better be ready
Hit
for the kid,
first
Jay Roche.
All,
I mean,
you're ready for.
You DJed this guy's wedding, bro. This guy.
That was a good time too.
This guy grew up in the city of sin, Las Vegas, Nevada. You should have seen him. He's the youngest of five boys. Going lizard hunting at night, getting in trouble during the day, sneaking out of his window. He had long hair. He was straggly. Learned the game in the city of sin of volleyball. Not that many guys played it.
How do you go from Scotty Vegas
Lane
to BYU?
No, he went to Vegas, and he went to junior college here in Huntington Beach. And he was looking for a scholarship, and people were shutting him down, turning him down, except for Carl McGowan at BYU said, come on over here, kid. So he went there, and he won a national championship with your boy, Ryan Millar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he came right out to the beach, and he said, I'm going to win out here one day. And he did just that. 2004, he won with Matt Furbringer. He's won eight times in his career. He's won the Hermosa Open. He's won Best Defensive. He's won Most Improved twice. Definitely one of the great characters to ever play the game. Fan-friendly. Everyone loves him. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about Casey Jennings. He is home in the United States of America right now in Manhattan Beach with his wife, Carrie, and his two beautiful sons, The Dance, Tun Dance, and Joey. I saw Joey the other day, Barney, and the kid's hair. He's got the best hair in all the South Bay. I mean, it's the greatest blonde curly fro I have ever seen. And I have really great fro, but Reed, I am telling you, man, Joey Jennings is going to be a star. I mean, he is going to be a star. Casey, the kid, you're here. We're at Reed's house with Barney.
Joey, yeah!
That's the longest intro we've had.
We've had some long intros, but that one felt good. I felt you deserved it because I haven't seen you in months. How's it going, buddy? You're home for a little while. What's going on?
No, it's awesome.
Tell us what's going on.
Oh, where do I start?
Yeah. You went over to Europe with Kevin.
It's been a long summer, and it's only in the middle, but I'm excited for the second half. You know, the Lakers always play better in the second half, right?
Yeah, now you had a couple of rough tournaments, but you also had a couple of good ones where you were knocking on the door. Is it just really gnarly over there, Case? I mean, the guys are so good. Or do you feel like you're right there? Did you feel maybe you weren't playing well?
Yeah, no question. It's a little bit of both. We were playing our best, but we still were playing good enough to do better than we did. The competition is just as thick as it's ever been. I mean, we got guys from Poland, guys from Latvia that are both like 6'2", 6'3". They're my height. There's a blocker, and they're nasty. There's nothing but whips. Nothing but whips over there.
Gotcha. Now, when you're over there, you go to the World Championships. You guys have a pretty good draw. You come up short. You had a nice lead in that third. I know that's disappointing. And then it kind of goes south a little bit. I know Kevin went home, and there were some issues. There were some problems. But I believe you guys are going to go back out together in Poland. If you can just share a little bit with that with us, it would be great.
Yeah, Kevin and I were committed to go, you know, the full 18 months that they give you to try to qualify for the Olympics. And we had some tough losses, and at the World Champs we had a really tough loss. But, you know, that's all part of it. And from going over there for so many years now, that I see how quickly you can jump, into the rankings. In three tournaments, they take your four out of best five finishes. So not only can you jump your own, the American teams is what we have to do, but you can get your seat up real high within four events. And it's frustrating if you haven't seen it and been able to see it firsthand. And I think Kevin just got a little frustrated and homesick, and he needed to take a break and go home and refuel, fill the tank up. And now, you know, he's fired up and wants to go back over there. And we committed to this thing. So we're going to do just that and go to Poland. It's a Grand Slam. We are in the main draw for this event, and Kirby and Nick have to play country quota against Brad and Casey Patterson.
Yep.
And it will be actually tomorrow. John Hyden and Sean Scott are playing Casey and Brad in Canada, and I'm going to stay here and play in the NVL because Poland's a grand slam and just hold on to my couple finishes so that we are in the main draw in the grand slam.
Hey, Casey, we've got a question for you. Cam Kerr, who's a longtime listener, runs Kill On 2 website, that does a lot of streaming, the FIVB events. He's from Canada. He's going to be at that event. He just called in a little while ago and asked why some of the top teams don't go to that event. And I didn't have an answer for him. My only answer was that maybe because of the travel, some of the top players might take that event off. I know a guy like you, you'll go to all of them if you're in. So maybe you can shed a little light on that.
Yeah, no question. I would be there. It wasn't my choice to not be there. So a lot of the top teams, knowing firsthand what it's like to travel over there and be in these hotels and travel country to country, to think about coming back west to Canada is really hard. And I think it also helps the fact that people aren't showing up, that it's not a grand slam, and that people are preparing for that Olympic run, and grand slams are worth twice as much. So what they're trying to do is not only rest, but take advantage of the training and taking a breath before they go into two more grand slams back to back, which are Poland and Austria. And I think that's a huge part of it. It's exhausting going back and forth, and especially for the Europeans who don't have to do it that much, for them to think of going to Canada and then going back, I think it kind of scares them, whereas us, you see the Americans are there. We're used to doing it as best that you can be used to it, and going and just putting your head down and going, I usually don't care. I'm like, whatever. What time is it? Let's go. Yeah. Blow the whistle and let's go, because, I don't know, that's the fun part of it too. So I don't really back that up, but it's too bad that a lot of teams are not going.
Yep, gotcha. Well, thank you for answering that. I know Cam appreciates that. A lot of people in the chat room asking about the NVL. I know people are really excited about you playing in that. Albert Hanneman's going to be calling in a little bit. Who are you playing with is my first question. And second part of that question is, how excited are you to finally get in the mix domestically? We've had some Corona events. There's been NVL. USAV is now sprouting up with a few. Give us your take on that.
I'm so excited. I'm playing with Andrew Fuller. He's big old 6'8", 6'9" fella that's left-handed. He's playing on the left side, and he's a stud. He didn't focus his – from 25 to 30, he didn't really focus on volleyball, but he's been around it all his life as far as I know, and he's a great player, and he's a really smart guy. He's got good energy, and he's working hard right now, and I'm going to show him a couple things that I've learned through the years and see if we can go win that NVL. I'm excited about it because just playing on our home soil on a beach with wind and there's just so many, having you guys and having family and friends around is really cool, and that's how I started the game. So for me, it gives me butterflies to just think about, doing that. And I love the overseas thing as well, but there's nothing like playing at home, and being able to go to Malibu is going to be really cool. It's a new event. So I'm really about that, and I'm happy for Al-B that he's able to put some things together, and he believes in this sport even when he's not playing it like he used to be. He still got his hands in it, and I have a lot of respect for that because that's what I plan on doing, and I really look up to him for doing that, because it's real easy. There's so many things he could do and just walk away from it and not really care, and he does, and he's working for the younger generation behind him because he loves the sport, and it really shows in what he's doing. So my hat goes off to Al-B. I love that guy.
Casey Barnett here. I'm wondering about how you feel going from tour to tour, FIVB, NVL, USAV coming up, with all the different things out there. Does that make you feel a bit more like a mercenary rather than a professional beach player with some sort of consistent schedule?
No. My priority is international, so anything else I can get on the side is great. I mean, it's all the same game. The ball might be different, but the rules are the same, which I really like. I think that's really important, that the rules stay consistent through the events. And if it's a, if it's a U.S. Open here, or it's an NVL here, or it's an FIVB there, I go and put my uniform and we get dirty. I don't think that it really matters. I think that the important part is that there are tours, and there are people trying to build it, because the sport is going to thrive. It's going to do well in the next couple of years. It will not evaporate like some people thought, oh, you know, rest in peace, AVP or whatever. It's just, I laugh at that stuff because I'm like, no, our sport, it's such a great sport that there's no way that I would ever believe that it would just, poof, it's gone. So the exciting part is there's a market, and people are fighting for that market. And when people are doing that, that's good. I think that that's a great thing. And we look at it, if you look at it with optimism, and you can say, you know, look at this sport, maybe fell apart, but there's three different tours, or there's four, and somebody's going to come out of this, and somebody's going to do it the right way, where the investors or sponsors are going to say, wow, look at this. This is really cool. Let's get involved with this. And then maybe one of them blows up, and the other ones kind of still hang around, and they get big too. You know, golf and tennis has different tours and different stops, and guys choose to go and do that. So, no, I don't feel like a mercenary. If anything, I'm grateful there's something to play in, and people are still making money out there.
You're listening to VolleyballNetwork.com, The Net Live, and we're talking to beach professional player Casey Jennings. Casey, there's been a lot of upheaval lately in mentioning the different tours. USAV, of course, announcing that they're going to have some events this year, and their Milwaukee event coming up. There's a selection process for that where USAV has actually handpicked the participants for that, and I've seen a variety of communications between a lot of different players, including yourself, regarding this selection process. Can you give a little insight on your feelings, at least, on how USAV is going about getting the athletes for this particular event?
I don't know how the selection process was, but or how they came about of doing it. I know Kevin called and asked me to play in it because we could have been one of the teams, and I said that I was going to be home with my family that week and prepare to go back overseas. And if anything, again, my hat goes off to the fact that there's eight guys that can go over to Milwaukee and make money, and there's sponsorships involved. There's airtime. The game is going to get... you know, some fan support. People on the East Coast are going to get to see some of the professionals and get to not only go to a tournament, but they're going to get to hang out with them. And if anybody argues the fact that, oh, why did so-and-so go and why did this guy get to go, it's, you know, be glad somebody's going and making some money, because if you got were chosen to go and play in that event, there'd be 50 other guys going, well, why didn't he go? So just, I think, kind of just embrace it. I think guys are losing sight of the whole picture rather than, you know, why didn't I get to go? It's like, well, how cool is that those guys got to go? Maybe I can go on the next one. How do I get, you know, how do I get my name in the hat? Or rather than, you know, picking at it and poking and saying, well, you know, these guys are making money and how did you pick it? It's no good. These guys are going. I've been a part of exhibitions, and I've been on the other side of it where other guys have been chosen to go, and there's two sides of it. You can understand the argument a little bit, but for me, I'm happy that there's eight guys going over to Milwaukee. They're going to promote the sport and they're going to get money for it, and that's what we want. That's what we're looking for, and that's the goal for the future of the sport, for the younger guys under me.
Well
and
said.
You know,
yeah. Sorry, go ahead. Sorry, buddy.
No, that's it. That's pretty much it.
Perfect. Hey, so you're over there and you're overseas and you got Phil and Todd and Jake and Rosie and all these guys are your friends, and you have Furby and Nick, and Furby's your ex-partner, and you're competing against these guys. You know, people ask us on the chat room, what's their relationship like? You know, tell us about you and Furbs. You guys have come a long way and you're still great friends, but how does it go over there with all you guys still competing against each other as well?
Oh, man. You know, the sport of aspect of it all, you know, if you asked me a couple years ago, I might have been upset when I was 27 or something, but I'll take that friendship with Furby over the sport any day. And, you know, you have a hard time. Of course, you know, I'll watch him play, and him and Nick are still getting to know each other, and I'll think, dang, I could have, you know, let me in, sub me in, let me help, let me get in there. But for the most part, you know, our friendship is intact. I'd love to play with Furby. If him and Nick run their course and they do well or they don't do well, I told Furby that no matter what happens, that I would like to play the last tournament of my career with him, wherever, whenever that would be. And that would mean a lot to me because my career was with Furby, and Furbringer Jennings will go down, you know, as a partnership that was, we were together for 7 years, and that's longer than I think like 90% of guys have ever done. So I'm happy with it. I love my friendship. I love the experience we had together, but it is, there are times you have nights where you struggle, where you're like, man, dude, if I could just, but it didn't work out that way. And Nick's a great player. Him and I are pretty even scaled if you were to match us up. So I can't, you know, I've never been upset with Furby on his choice. And, you know, I know he feels the same way. Sometimes he watches me play and he's like, ah, I could, you know, me and Case could smash that team or whatever. But
sure.
We're all friends over there. I played cards with Jake and Rosie one night till about midnight. I had the Casey watch the kids, and I got to take a little break. And we played cards with Casey Patterson and Jake and a couple of the coaches. And it was, you know, you really start to come together when you come over there, because you are truly battling the world in other countries. And you know, it's your family almost. You become closer than ever. And I think it's really cool. I'm really trying to document it right now. So,
well, Case, we always love your honesty. Do you mind taking a couple calls? There's a couple listeners, because the message boards are lighting up with stuff to ask you. So a couple people called in, wanted to ask you a question. If you're okay to stay for a couple minutes longer.
No problem.
All right. I believe we got a caller on right now. Who do we have?
We got Melissa.
This is Melissa Carvel. How you doing, Casey?
Hi, Melissa. Good.
Great. I just wanted to say a couple of things really, really quick. Which, you know, I just admire so much, you know, the way that you and Carrie, you've traveled. And you're such great role models in the volleyball world. And my question is, it's kind of a family question, is, you know, what kind of lessons have you learned as a family doing all of that wonderful traveling? And I love your documentary videos. Those are kind of great. And I was wondering if you can just kind of share some lessons that you learned together.
Oh, man, we've learned how to hold our breath on airplanes.
Oh, yeah.
Them little guys do really well on the airplanes, and they've been great. But, you know, it's been the hardest thing we've ever done in our lives. And to be able to take our kids with us, we look at as a positive. And even when we're there and we have to leave them with Casey, our Carrie's sister is our nanny over there, it's really hard to balance everything, and we're all still green at it. And we've talked about maybe we'll write a book as a family about travels and what things that you can do if you're traveling with your kids, or if other future athletes decide to do this, and maybe both parents are athletes like we are. And but it's been trying, to say the least. It's been really, really difficult, and we've put our jobs, you know, obviously we put our family first, but our jobs are our number one priority over there. So we're staying with our partners, and we're getting our rest, and then we're juggling the kids at the same time. So I don't know. That's pretty much it. It's been very difficult. The kids have done great. They haven't been sick yet or anything. They've seen so much of the world. We take them to, you know, I took them all around in Switzerland, and we're just showing them all kinds of little things. And the coolest thing is that they get to experience all the other players and other languages, and they get to hear Portuguese. And I tell everyone to speak their language to them. And when Sundance had his birthday over there, all of the international players sang happy birthday to him in their language at the same time. And it's just really, really special. And when we look back on this in 20 years, it's going to just be, you know,
I would definitely buy that book if you write it. I think a lot of, like you said, a lot of sports players just in general, I think they would definitely, that would be a good thing to have.
Yeah, we would definitely do something like that. We're working on a documentary right now to where someone was following us with a camera. It's a road to London, and we're in the midst of doing that right now. So hopefully there'll be something you can even watch on the television that will be exciting to watch.
Well, thank you very, very much for answering my question.
Cool,
yeah,
thanks.
No problem.
Call in.
Hey, Casey, what did it sound like when everyone sang in a different language, happy birthday?
Yeah, is it the same tune? Is it all happy birthday?
No, not even. No. It was so wild. I have it on video. It's actually, I think I put it up on the Facebook, but when you were there, it was just like, it sounded like a room full of people, just exactly what it was. It was just like, what is going on? Sundance started crying. There was just no rhythm or rhyme to it, but it was so funny because there was at least five different languages going on, and they were singing it, you know?
That's great, buddy. Hey, last thing. Carrie just got a win the other day. I know she came home. That had to be great for you to see them finally beat the Brazilians this year.
Oh, my gosh. I wish we could have been there. Yeah, we were watching it. Kids got up at like 6 or 7 that day, and we were watching it on my phone on the live scoring. And they were up 18. They were down 18-15 in the first, and then they caught up. And it was 23-21. And then the second game, they were up 8-3, and it stopped. It paused, and I couldn't see it, so I had to wait for it to show up. But I was so pumped because they needed to stick it to them, and that's just going to be the first time. There's going to be many more. I'm excited to watch them too. Those Brazilians are nasty, and the women's side, man, I wish that everybody could really see what's going on over there, and even guys like Karch, and MD's so lucky because he gets to see the sport is so big and it's so universal now, and these teams, it's so awesome to watch the different styles. I call it Star Wars. You're going to, you know, that bar in Star Wars where there's all the monsters and creatures walking around. That's exactly how it is, man.
Oh, that's great. Hey, man.
And obviously I'm a Jedi, so I mean, I'm just waiting to take some arms off.
Hey, when I emailed you today and asked if you'd come on, and you said absolutely, it's always appreciated. Thanks for checking in with us. And we always hear, I can speak for all the fellas, we really appreciate your honesty. Always. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. Thanks, you guys. Right on. I appreciate it. Anytime.
Appreciate it. Case. Casey Jennings.
DJ Roche, pump that thing. I love you, buddy.
See you, man.
All right, Keith. See you guys.
You know you're going to section that part out right there.
Oh, yeah. That's
I love
be the
you,
new,
buddy.
Yeah.
It's going to be the new intro. That'll be everywhere now from DJ Roche.
I, you know.
Casey Jennings.
We used to interview him all the time back in the Dig Show days because he would give you that honest answer that a lot of people maybe don't get you sometimes, and there's always passion behind it. Whether you agree or disagree with him, he's giving it to you what he feels.
You know, it didn't work out, but I was going to say he's a member of the Church of Volleyball, a charter member.
Yeah.
And a big supporter of his sport. When you hear him talk about the sport, it's fun to hear somebody that loves his job.
He's going down with the ship.
He is. He's going down with the ship at least
once.
That's
what I love about him.
And resurrected himself.
He's a great friend.
Hey, the Net Live here on TheVolleyballNetwork.com. More to come. I think Albert Hanneman's calling up. He's got some issues.
And we've got two cases of Samazon energy drink, acai, to give away. I just got this text.
I'm all in.
Dying to give some stuff out. You can't participate.
Okay.
somebody's going to have to call in.
Somebody's going to have to call
in. We'll figure out the rules. Okay. We'll talk about it. We'll huddle up, call
maybe
a timeout.
Maybe a trivia question.
Not much time to go because I smell dinner.
Dude, I smell food.
I smell dinner too, so we got to wrap this
up. It's amazing that all of our wives and, of course, Jeremy, who's not married but his girlfriend, they're down there slaving away with the kids and everything just for our benefit.
We had to get him here under one roof because, you know, labor of love over 2 years, it's hard to explain that back home. So we felt like we needed to bring the wives together so they, you know, could understand why you're spending your Mondays with us.
Quick break. The Net Live. We may or may not be back individually. I'm going to go down and get some snacks. Just a second.
Black half white diamond now. Gang of money, Alpatel.
Oh, Reed's hitting the shuffle right here in the studio. Anyway, Reader.
That is incredible. Is that what I missed a few minutes ago when I was smoking?
That's athleticism on display. The Net Live Evening Edition.
Wow.
We're getting a little saucy in here.
I'm kind of liking Evening Editions.
It's getting a little crazy in here. I like it. You know, one thing.
I love Sprite.
We just talked to Casey Jennings, and I thought it was kind of funny. He's like, oh, yeah, we've been overseas for a couple of weeks. We really got to get a break. I know Reed's sitting over here going, dude, how about 6 months? How about 7 months?
By the way, they've been over there for
Russia.
They've already been over there for a couple months.
Who cares? 7 months? I know some of these guys have done it. Furbringer's done it. There's a few other guys out there on the beach side that have done the tour, done the time. So don't tell me you're tired.
But don't you have
a
home? Don't you have a home base, bro? When you're there, don't you have a home base?
That's the key.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're at a house, Kevin Barnett, you baby.
If you want to win some Sambazon, we're giving away two cases of Sambazon Energy shipped to your home. You have to do nothing but come home one day and pull it in your doorstep. Drag it through your front door and drink it all if you want.
At one time.
Not recommended. Not doctor recommended. But you have to call this program and answer a trivia question. We have two trivia questions ready. Call right now, 347-677-1525. While we're talking to Albert Hanneman, you are going to be getting ready, getting your trivia on. It's a question from this show. Easy win. Call up now. Free stuff in your house. 347-677-1525. We have a longtime listener and a longtime caller calling us right now. He's the owner of the NVL.
Yes.
The very first year this tour has been in existence. He's a former player. And we've given him so much introduction music. It's such a long intro. I don't know that I can unleash Geeter and listening to himself for 35 seconds.
Well, the problem is we don't have a lot of time, because I'd love to just give Al B what he deserves, but I do it every other time.
He's had it.
He's Albert Hanneman.
Thank
he's an
you
owner
calling.
Now. He needs to get it done.
Thank you for calling back into the Net Live again.
Al B, how are you, buddy?
What's up, guys?
Well, we just had Casey on, and he had mentioned how excited he was to play in your NVL event with Andrew Fuller. He had also mentioned and gave you absolutely huge props. I don't know if you were listening, but very cool just how much you care about the game and how much you're giving back and the opportunities that you're providing for some of these guys. Tell us about your huge event this weekend in Malibu.
Yeah, first, love Casey. I mean, one of the most passionate guys. Really happy to have him out this weekend playing. You know, really excited about being home, you know, playing in Malibu, giving the players a chance to drive up the street and play in a great event, and you know, just thrilled on where we're at right now. Been waiting for 6 weeks for this next event, but you know, 7 weeks, it's finally here, so we're really excited.
Albert, how can people follow along during the weekend that don't live there and aren't going to be there? Will it be on your website in terms of updates, BVB info? Can you help us out on that one?
Yeah, Guy, we have thenvl.com or nationalvolleyballleague.com. We have four courts live streaming, and then we'll have the updated scores throughout. Dennis Wagner has been a great help, so BVB Info has been updating everything for us. And, yeah, you can keep up to date on every game.
Awesome. Now, what did you learn, Albert, from Baltimore? You said you had 6 weeks. Is there something that you looked at and said, you know what, I need this to be better? Or let's do this to enhance it for the fan. What did you take away from Baltimore that you're, you know, using in Malibu?
You know, I think our live stream was a little rough. You know, we were working on figuring that out. We did that, and so we had to get a hard line put in to Malibu to make sure that that's going to be clear and clean all the way throughout. That was pretty much one of the only things that I wanted to improve on. You know, everything's been great. The players have been great. The promoters, sponsors, everyone has been awesome. I just, you know, I think we're headed in the right direction.
Albert Barnett here. I know you have worked hard to establish your schedule, establish your brand, and build this thing from the ground up. And just recently, USA Volleyball announced their schedule, and there are a couple of events that go head-to-head with yours, including a Long Beach NVL coupled with a Hermosa USAV Cuervo. Just give us your feelings on that announcement and now kind of the crowded space of running a volleyball tour.
You know, I think Casey said it well where, you know, I think it's great to have all the players, you know, doing this for a living. So we want to give them as many opportunities as they can play. So it's unfortunate when events, you know, fall on top of each other. You know, I wish it's tough for me because my investors will talk to me and ask me, you know, how is your national governing body not supporting you guys. And when I can't answer that, it's tough, you know. So I don't think it's intentional. I think they're trying to figure it out. But, you know, we're definitely disappointed, you know. I mean, we want to have as many events as possible for the players to play in. And I think everyone can coexist out there. And, you know, we're going to do things one way. They're going to do it another way. And I think we can work together. I just hope there's a solution. I haven't heard anything yet.
Hey, Albert, tell us about the new ball.
Yeah, Gee, we're stoked. The Wilson ball, we were designing it secretly for a couple months and just got, you know, a couple of them sent out here last week. We're in Long Beach for the National Collegiate Beach Volleyball Championships with St. John this weekend, and some of the kids got to play with it there. And it's going to be ready. I think they're going to have them ready for Virginia Beach. It's a huge process to get that many balls in production, but it's a big step for us in the right direction. And, you know, that's one of the biggest things I think we had going for us this year was having that deal behind us.
Albert, give us the days of Malibu and when things are starting and the qualifier and all that so our listeners know how to follow and all that good stuff.
Yeah, Saturday the 23rd, it's starting early, Geet. So 7 o'clock we'll be out there. There's some qualifier matches going on, and then 32 men, 32 women playing for the 75K. We have a celebrity match going on Sunday. We have some surprises, but it's going to definitely all be on the live streaming. And like I said, I'm just excited to be able to do this and have all the players there, you know, fired up to play at home.
Albert, we've got a caller. Before we get you out of here, we'd like to ask you a question. Brad from Pennsylvania, hit it. You're on the phone with Albert.
Hey, Albert. We met down at the NVL event in Baltimore, and I just have to say, you were amazing, nicest guy. And what I've seen from the NVL so far, at least at that event, especially at the Preakness on Saturday, we went both days, and it reminded me of the old AVP days back in the early 90s when I was early college, going to the, you know, Belmars and Seaside Heights, Jersey Shore. You put your chair in, you settle in, play volleyball, and it was awesome. So I just wanted
to... Yeah, thanks, Brad. Appreciate
it. No problem.
Appreciate
I just wanted to give you props for that.
Yeah, no, man. We're trying to really bring back the lifestyle, you know. I think we don't need big stadium courts, and I think it's good to bring everyone together, and, you know, the players like hanging out, and you know, us getting to meet at that event was just you know, showing what we're trying to do, and I think all the players are on board with it, you know, and I think... we're going to keep doing that, and we're going to keep getting bigger because of it.
Hey, Alb, I had a question for you. What is this like for you on a personal level? I mean, I've known you forever, and most of our listeners, of course, know who you are and have followed your career, but you're now doing an event that you're running basically at home. How cool is that for you? Are you nervous? Are you excited? Is this kind of like a dream come true?
Really, really fired up, Geet. I mean, I am a little nervous, but I'm a lot less nervous than I was, you know, being in Baltimore for our first event, not really being able to control a lot of what was going on. You know, Scott Hubble, we're working with the CBVA, so we're kind of partnering totally with those guys and feeling comfortable with that. It's a surf and sport festival, so there's a lot of cool events going up and down Malibu, but you know, it feels great. I got all my family and friends, and everyone's going to come down and have a good time. And, you know, it's going to be different not playing, but actually just cheering the players on and watching it. It's going to be a totally different feeling.
Right on. Thanks for the info, Albi. Always appreciate when you call. Good to hear about your tour, and things are going well. Wish you the best.
Can't wait
event.
To talk about it on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. And I didn't hear anything from Jeremy. Is he still there? Do you guys keep him in the background when Reeder gets back in town?
I just don't want to put you on the spot about when my contract's coming in the mail.
Oh, Geet will be, I'm sorry, Jeremy will be spinning this weekend, so you can, we'll talk about that a little bit later,
like
Jeremy.
Like that, Albie, that
very
a kid,
interesting.
That's what I like to hear.
And just I locked him in, I just wanted to give him a surprise later, but I'll go ahead and let everyone know right now.
Albie, just one note, live streaming with no announcers is way boring. People want announcers.
We want Barnett McGee later in the future. In the future.
So I get a contract, and Kevin, you're trying to get one? Is
that
what's happening right now?
Of course.
Gotcha.
Albie, thanks,
sounds
man.
Good, guys.
All right, see you.
Later, buddy.
Yeah, thanks so much.
All right. Albert Hammond, once again, calling in here to the Net Live.
That's got to be really cool for Albert, that he's going to be running this event basically at home in Malibu. You know, he's been involved in this sport for a long time, Barney. So I got to think there's going to be some butterflies on Friday morning.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's got so much time and energy into this thing. I think it'll be a great event. Get out there and check it out if you can up in Malibu. Not too far of a drive for the Southern California crowd, and Carmageddon's over, so you should be able to get there.
Boy, was that overrated.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to get into it, really.
I mean, it's a good thing that it's overrated. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah.
I actually took a picture of the freeways dropping the kids off Sunday morning. Every freeway on the traffic map in Google Maps was green. Never see that. Never see that.
I played in a tournament Saturday called the Sea Right in Hermosa Beach, and there was 32 teams of four. Not one person even knew what Carmageddon meant.
Good. Hey,
we live in the bubble.
We lost our callers, 347-677-1525.
We lost them all.
Call in, answer a question right now.
I'm going to go
win
eat.
Some Sambas on now.
Was that my fault?
I have a –
questions.
We have another question we want to put up on the chat board. Is that correct?
Is my wife down there?
Or are you going to read? First person to answer this takes home a case of Sambas on. Read pretty with the question.
Why can I not get in this?
This is aside from the
Sambazon is made from a berry that's found in Brazil. Don't say it.
Okay.
You got to call in right now to tell us how to correctly pronounce it.
Ooh, that's
how
good
one person.
All right, we've got a caller right here.
Oh, who's in it? Who is this?
Hey, this is Brad.
This is Brad in Pennsylvania.
He's back.
Brad is back, by the way.
That was quick. Brad's like, I was never off, actually.
Brad, the question is, there's a berry that is in Sambazon drinks. It comes from Brazil. How is it pronounced? What is the proper pronunciation of that berry?
I wish I knew because I don't drink mixed drinks. I only drink beer, so I'm in trouble.
God bless, Brad. Just take a stab at it, see how it goes.
It's spelled A C A I.
Ace.
Okay.
Which is a great beach volleyball game.
Different.
Okay.
He doesn't win. No, he's out.
Okay, give him another chance.
Give him another chance.
I got a question for him.
Okay.
What year
was
volleyball invented?
1895.
Okay.
You know what? Brad's a loyal listener.
Brad, the netlive at gmail.com. Send us your address.
Send us your address, and we'll send you out the case.
You're taking it home.
Sounds great. I appreciate it, guys.
Brad, by the way, he knew that answer, like...
Oh, that was cakewalk. Hey, we got another question, though, because we got a caller 304.
304, can you answer the first question?
It was acai.
That's correct.
Is that
right?
Correct?
That's
correct.
Okay. I thought it was. How about
is that right?
Feet know the answers to these questions before they ask them? I think it's right.
And who are we talking to?
This is Melissa Carvel again.
Good job, Melissa.
We get callers, we get them twice.
Acai, that's right. Twice. From Brazil.
Couldn't stay away.
Sambazon.com. They can take care of you with all your acai needs. And Melissa, just email us at thenetlive@gmail.com and give us your address, and we'll send you out that case of energy.
There you go.
She did a great job.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thanks, all right, guys. Yeah.
Does Melissa have the bat phone number? Because she got in real quick.
Hey, that ends the product promotion segment of the show right there. Oh, my goodness. Hey, it's been another good one. Casey Jennings talked to us about beach volleyball, about travel. About the sweet hair on his kid. Wait, no, that was Geeter talking about Casey Jennings. We had George Mulry from the Volleyball Hall of Fame.
It's good talking to George, and I liked how we really put ourselves in pole position to get in there in 20 years.
One topic to go yet, the women's indoor national team going to be getting started here quickly.
I thought you meant our women cooking for us.
Well, yeah, they better have the food ready. It smells like they do. It's going to be awesome. But we want to talk about our women's national team coming off
a
Grand Prix, mind you, Grand Prix. A lot like World League, the premier professional event, except for a world championship, the lead into a world championship. Every year, 16 teams getting ready. Pardon me, 12 teams getting ready.
They win last year?
The United States won last year.
Big deal.
Big deal.
Huge.
Took it home, number one USA, number two Brazil, three Italy, four China, five Japan in a surprising performance.
Japan just keeps creeping up. Women's soccer, women's volley.
It's good for sports because Japanese are not afraid to put money into their sporting programs and professional leagues. Really, really great. And a terrific place. If you ever get a chance to go to Japan for an event, anything, go.
You love it there too, Reed?
Go. I love Japan.
Yes.
It is a fantastic place to be. You know what?
Very clean.
Have you seen Lost in Translation?
Yes, Bill Murray.
Okay. Did you get it? Or were you kind of like...
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Because if you've ever been to Japan and you watch this movie... Reed, you've probably seen Lost in Translation.
I loved it. A lot of people hated it.
It feels like Japan. I watched it. My wife didn't really get it. I went, you know what? That's what it feels like to be there. That's just totally how it is. But anyway, getting underway, the United States is going to be in Pool D in the very first round. They're going to be in China and matching up against China, Serbia, and Kazakhstan. Then they move on week number two. Now, this is a grueling tournament. We talk about what some of the beach players do or the five matches in 5 days that finish World League. This is a month-long competition. Week one, three matches. Week two, three matches. This is the 12th to the 14th of August. The United States will move from China over to Japan, and they will play against Japan, Serbia, and Dominican Republic. So they get Serbia twice in the
Fantastic.
Early rounds. Week number three, the United States will go to Hong Kong. So good travel schedule for them, not going too far away. This whole event held in Asia, and some of it in Poland, and some of it in Thailand. But the United States' portion will be in Asia. United States, Italy, Germany, and Peru. Italy will be a good test. Germany, not a bad team. Peru, I think they're okay as well. So it should be a very interesting week number three for the Americans. Then if the Americans qualify, the final round will be in Macau, China, the 24th to the 28th of August. And these events can be caught on Universal Sports.
Are you doing them?
I'm doing them. Paul Sunderland, Kevin Barnett.
Nice.
Going to be doing those events for Universal Sports. I'm missing a couple of events. I'm on vacation in Alaska for a week. So I'll be missing a couple of events, but I'll be there for at least four of them.
Alaska.
Yeah, that was my thought. Just because?
Taking the family, go on a cruise.
Nice.
Mom, mother-in-law, father-in-law, kids, family, uncle.
You know what?
It's going to be something else.
We got a show lined up next Monday. A couple guests. Can we tease those guests, or are they
please,
confirmed yet?
Please do.
Former coach, University of Minnesota, Mike Hebert. That's a good guest.
We're going to get him. I talked to him in Long Beach. He said he'd love to come on the program. Yeah. We'll get him confirmed for next week.
I'd like to get him on there.
And Ben Weintraub. We're going to talk to him. He's been working at Echo Entertainment for a long time. He cuts volleyball. So I think it's another interesting way to look at the sport.
I worked with Sinjin half-hour shows with Echo for 4 years, and they were the shows that would go international. They were so every FIVB stop, we would do a half-hour show, and he had to edit like all night long for days to get this done because you got to – they shoot the whole event, and you got to do features, and you got to do some of the games, you know, the bronze game, the semifinals, the gold game. So he spent a lot of time in the editing room.
Just another way to look at the sport, and hopefully we'll have 35 years of Volleyball Magazine starting up.
When is Kent and Reed going to talk?
You know what? I want to give credit where credit's due. Yeah. BVB Fanatic, thanks for pointing that out. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Just was ready for it. And it just didn't come.
I'm used to you being here. Are we going to have you again? Can you give us your schedule for the next month? I know Barnes
Pretty.
Going
you
to...
promised me he'd be on the show today.
There's Kent Steffes. That's all we ever get of Kent anymore, except for like my 45-minute phone calls with him talking about
this. Oh, believe me, there'll be a Casey volleyball. Jennings soundbite with Jay Roche in it next week. I can
oh,
guarantee you guys
gosh.
That.
I am not providing the audio.
Do people
for that.
Remember what Kent said? I have. Do you have 17 seconds, Kevin?
Yeah, hit it.
So I do my interview, and he calls in the next week throwing bombs from the cheap seats. What's up with that? He's got to get on the show and ask me direct.
Reed, you're offended.
I mean, it's like he's throwing it from the 300 seats at Staples. Not even there. He's like outside slapping Gretzky.
You know, Reed, you have offended a legend of the game.
I have
game,
no idea what he's talking about, by the way.
Play it one more time.
Foolishly so, you have offended a large mammal. I don't know what kind of shape Kent Steffes is in. Haven't seen him lately, but I'm willing to bet he could still put you in a headlock.
I want to hear it one more time.
So I do my interview, and he calls in the next week throwing bombs from the cheap seats. What's up with that? He's got to get on the show and ask me direct.
He's sending
you
bitches.
You know, I mean, it's like he's throwing it from the 300 seats at Staples. Not even there. He's like outside slapping the grass.
I love that.
You're yelling at the jumbotron.
I love that Kent just said you're sitting basically third level at Staples. That's what Kent Steffes just said about you, Reed.
Your seats are terrible, Pretty. Oh, my gosh. So hopefully we'll have Kent Steffes next week giving Pretty a hard time. We'll see if we can skip.
Do you have any Curious George for Millie? Who's
We're
just
past
entered
the
room.
Show's over. The show's over. Millie and her fro are here. Your lovely wife is here. Oh, my gosh. Nicole is here.
Oh, yeah. Jeremy's better half.
Yeah. We're Skype friends, but don't see each other in person too often.
You've never seen each other? You just text?
I've seen her once or twice.
Okay. What just happened? We were talking about
where were the crickets?
Steph is completely abusing Reed. He's probably one of the favorite sound bites that I have on this show.
You know,
I'll tell you that right now.
This show was going so well.
I dominated.
Now, we're just devolving quickly. Yeah. We need to get off the air and eat some tri-tip that better have been marinating since noon, Pretty.
If everyone
as
was
Reed
doing
said
a
earlier,
great job,
then everyone would win the championship.
I like how everyone's woman is here.
By the way, that
mine.
Was one of the dumbest things you've ever said on this show. If everyone was doing a good job, they'd win the championship. Do you know how hard it is to coach a championship? I should know. I have two
Tell
gold
me.
Medals. Have I mentioned that yet today? I have two gold medals.
Again, like
it's
I
tough
said,
to win. Barnett.
This show is disintegrating.
You didn't win, so you must not have done a good job.
It's an indefensible statement.
Sorry, Karch.
That was not me.
Jeremy, you're really getting involved in the show.
I mean, I
can
just take
I
over.
Like that.
I
like
just
that.
Mute all of
time.
You and just take over.
It's about time.
All right.
That was great. Casey Jennings was great today. We had more callers than we usually have today.
And I hope you learned something about the sport. George Mullery from Volleyball Hall of Fame.
That was awesome.
Check out their list. Go to thevolleyhall.org and check out the people they're putting in. Just
Absolutely.
Learn a little bit about some of the greats of this sport. And we also learned that there is hope, Geeter, for you. You could get in the hall as a lifetime contributor, but you have
yeah.
a long ways to go
That's,
yet.
You know,
you better
you know,
hang in there and not
you know Marlo,
the sport.
Of course, Marlo and Sunderland are getting in first, as they should. But as long as there's hope that I can be in some sort of Hall of Fame, because Northridge hasn't put me in there yet. Crespi High School hasn't put me in there yet. But I want to be at the Hall of Fame. I want to give a speech in front of Jess, Millie, and Luca.
Hey,
and my grandkids.
We've got dinner now. We could talk
we
about this
here?
Over dinner, and we
yeah,
could put wait. A five-year plan together of how we're going to get into the Volleyball Hall of Fame as a show.
Perfect. I agree.
That over a dirty Sprite sounds like a great conversation. DJ, spin it up. The Net Live.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
It's been the evening show. I'm going to take off my tuxedo T-shirt. It's been fun. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. If you're getting it on iTunes, we appreciate you listening.
We need those downloads. Get it going, right, Bob? Hey, you were medium today. Good job. You're a working man now.
For Geeter, DJ Rahar, and Reed Pretty, I'm Kevin. We'll see you again next week.
Bye, everybody.